You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we are going to recap the Orioles' tough loss from last night in Citi Field as the Mets walked it off against the Orioles, getting two in the ninth and beating the O's 3-2 in game one of a quick two-game series in Flushing. Then we're going to talk about the most recent Orioles addition to their team. They actually made a kind of under-the-radar waiver claim the other day, picking up left-handed reliever Brandon Waddell from the Twins. He did get added to the 40-man roster, but the Orioles have stashed him in AAA Norfolk. We'll talk about that move and who came off of the 40-man roster because of it. And then we will do a little bit of a preview of an interesting game coming up at noon today in the second game of the series between the Orioles and the Mets, with Matt Harvey making his return to Citi Field. So all that coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is the Locked On MLB podcast. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. And if you go back and listen to maybe last Thursday's episode of Locked On MLB, you can hear yours truly on the episode talking about John Means' no-hitter from last week. But yesterday was John Means' next start after the no-hitter, as we knew pretty quickly that he was not going to get that no-hitter, as Jeff McNeil singled to start the game for the Mets. But that didn't mean that it was a bad start by any means. And that is where we start today with our five things you need to know from the Orioles' 3-2 loss to the Mets on Tuesday night. And the first thing you need to know is that John Means did not have really that much close to his best start or his best stuff. And frankly, he was still really, really good against the Mets. He goes six innings, allowing no runs on six hits, three strikeouts, and no walks for John Means, as the six scoreless innings brings his ERA on the season down to 1.21. And for John Means, you know, he did not have his best stuff by any means last night. 28% called strike and whiff percentage for Means. Now, the changeup looked good, but he really didn't throw it too much last night. He only threw 26% changeups. He threw 42 fastballs of the 74 pitches that he threw in last night's game, and he didn't get a lot of whiffs on that fastball, just three of them. Did get five whiffs on the changeup, nine overall, because he got one on the slider as well. But, you know, his stuff wasn't amazing. He only got the three strikeouts in six innings. Now, he was getting the Mets to swing early, and he was getting, you know, a lot of early outs in the count, which is why, you know, he was able to get through six scoreless innings at only 74 pitches. And you're probably wondering, six scoreless innings, 74 pitches for the Orioles ace who is coming off a no-hitter. Why was he pulled out of the game? Well, that is the second thing to know from the Orioles' loss last night, is that the National League continues to be extremely stupid. And I do not understand why we just can't get a DH in both leagues. Here's the scenario that took John Means out of the game. He's rolling through six scoreless innings. He had actually, you know, just had a little bit of trouble in the sixth, actually. He had, you know, allowed back-to-back singles to start the bottom of the sixth inning. It was first and second, no outs in a 0-0 game. And Means just bears down and gets out of the inning, gets a ground ball force out to put runners on the corners with one away, then gets Pete Alonso to pop out, gets Kevin Pillar to fly out, and that ends the inning, keeps it at 0-0. So you go to the top of the seventh. John Means was due up fifth in the seventh, and you're thinking, you know, if the Orioles get a rally here, you know, they're probably going to have to take Means out of the game as a pinch hitter, because it's a 0-0 game, and if you're rallying, you know, you're going to need to get a real hitter in there. You know, you got guys like DJ Stewart and Pat Fileka on the bench. You're going to need to get one of those guys in there to try and give your team the lead, because it's still a 0-0 ball game. You know, Marcus Stroman was pitching really well for the Mets, had thrown six scoreless so far. And the Orioles do start their rally. Freddie Galvis with a single, Michael Franco with a single. All of a sudden, it's first and second with nobody out. Rio Ruiz puts down a sack bunt. Wasn't a big fan of that play, but he did it, moves the runners up to second and third. And then, of course, with Pedro Severino coming up in the eight hole, the Mets intentionally walk Severino, and they load the bases with one out for the pitcher spot. And for the Mets, at the very least, you know you're guaranteed to get John Means out of the game after he had stifled you for six scoreless innings. You know you can get him out of there. And even though the Oriole bullpen has been really, really good this year, you'd much rather face them than John Means at this point. So the Orioles go to DJ Stewart as a pinch hitter. Luis Rojas responds by taking Marcus Stroman out of the game. He brings in the lefty Aaron Loop. Brandon Hyde goes with another pinch hitter as Pat Valleca comes in, and Valleca delivers a sack fly that did give the Orioles a 1-0 lead, but that was the only run they would get in the inning. So, of course, they basically had to take John Means out just to try and take the lead in the game, give themselves a better chance to win. I don't want to play that brand of baseball where you have to choose between leaving your ace in who's rolling through six scoreless or actually trying to win the game and putting Pat Valleca in there. And then, of course, you know, the Orioles did go to the bullpen, and Adam Pletko came out there and he got a scoreless seventh. And, you know, him and Tanner Scott gave up a run in the eighth. But, you know, the Orioles didn't add on enough, and they didn't score enough to win the game. But, you know, if John Means is rolling, he probably gets through seven or eight himself, and this might be a whole different game. You know, the Orioles might go, you know, hold the Mets scoreless into the ninth. You never know what could have happened in this game, but just get the DH NL. I mean, I don't understand how people enjoy baseball without the DH. Why do you like watching the pitcher hit? It's honestly just getting absolutely ridiculous at this point. But I mentioned, you know, into the ninth inning, and obviously, you know, it was a tough night for Cesar Valdez, who did allow the two runs in the bottom of the ninth. Orioles entered the inning up 2-1 and fell 3-2 as the Mets got themselves a walk-off fielder's choice as Jonathan Villar scored from third on a ground ball to Trey Mancini with the infield in. And the third thing you need to know from last night's game is that Cesar Valdez is still good. He's still the closer. I don't understand why everyone is freaking out so much about last night's game. For Cesar Valdez, this is his third blown save. All three saves that he has blown this year have been of the one-run variety. The last two that he had blown this season, he only gave up the one run. Both of them, you know, he got the game to the bottom of the ninth with the game still tied. This one was on the road, and he gives up two, so it hurts a little more that, you know, it's a walk-off and your team doesn't have a chance to come back in the bottom of the ninth. But again, this was not some crazy inning where he got, you know, mauled by the Mets. It starts with a play to start the inning that, frankly, Rio Ruiz should have made at third base. He doesn't. Goes for a base hit. Then Jonathan Villar hits the ball pretty hard, but it's on the ground, and it just scoots into right field for a hit. Then he easily strikes out James McCann for the first out. And then Dom Smith hits a ball that's kind of a lazy fly ball, only 87 miles per hour off the bat that Austin Hayes just not able to get to because, you know, the Orioles are playing the outfield way back to prevent the big double that wins the game with a winning run on first. That's a ball that's probably caught if you're playing straight up infield. And then, you know, the Orioles throw the ball around a little bit that allows VR to get to third, which means, you know, Valdez gets the next guy to ground out to first, but instead of a ground out to first, it is the winning run because VR is at third with less than two outs. The dead fish still looked okay. He still got good stuff, guys. Like, I don't understand what's going on here with everyone freaking out about Cesar Valdez here. I mean, you know, he's still throwing that pitch. It's still nasty. He's still got a 245 batting average against that changeup this year. It's still extremely fun. Frankly, he, you know, still has a 2.40 ERA in 15 innings this year. So I don't know. I mean, you know, there's good points being made about how, like, you know, he's not an elite closer. He's not Zach Britton. He's not going to go 47 for 47 in saves. But you know what he can do is make the ninth inning really fun to watch, baffle hitters with throwing, you know, almost 80% dead fish changeups. And it's fun to watch. And he's going to blow some saves because he's a guy who's coming from, you know, the Mexican League and the Dominican Winter League who hadn't pitched in the big leagues in 4 years. He's throwing 78 miles an hour. It's not going to work every single time. But for a rebuilding team who doesn't, you know, have a lot of fun pieces to watch, this is an extremely fun piece to watch. And yeah, at some point down the line, you know, maybe Tanner Scott or Paul Fry or whoever, you know, takes over the closer role for the Orioles. But none of those guys are particularly ready for that role yet. You could argue that Fry is, but, you know, he's never done that before in his life. This is fine to still have Valdez in this role. Maybe he loses that role at some point this season, but he's going to be in the bullpen either way the entire year, you would think, unless the Orioles can flip him and trade him for some prospects. But, you know, jumping on Cesar Valdez, just, like, go outside. Stop tweeting about Cesar Valdez being bad. Like, he's amazing. He's been this amazing find for Mike Elias that has helped the Orioles so, so much over the last 2 years. You're just looking for things to complain about. Just, you got to go outside on that one. Fourth thing to know from last night's game is that simply Freddy Galvez just continues to hit. Two more hits last night, 2 for 4, had an RBI, laid down a bunt with two outs in the eighth, the runner on third, and got a bunt base hit that scored Austin Hayes to give the Orioles a 2-0 lead at the time. The only Oriole with a multi-hit game last night, now up to 284 on the season with an 824 OPS. He's quietly creeping up towards Cedric Mullins in the OPS numbers. Cedric Mullins leads the team with an 892. Galvez second with an 824 OPS on that team. Yes, that is better than Hayes and Mancini and, you know, others and Franco and Severino, who have, you know, hit the ball fairly well so far this season. Freddy Galvez had an awful start to the season. All of a sudden, you look up, he's performing much, much better than Jose Iglesias is out in Anaheim right now. So, you know, they get the two prospects for Iglesias. They save a little money with Galvez, and he's performing better than Iglesias is this season. Another winning move from Mike Elias. And the fifth and final thing you need to know from last night's game is that we've been harping on it over and over again, but please get Rio Ruiz out of my face. He starts, he goes 0-for-3 with a strikeout. His average is down to 155 on the season. And, you know, he doesn't make a play to start the ninth inning that was not an error. It was ruled a base hit, but it's a play that a lot of third basemen make, and that changes that whole ninth inning, and the Orioles probably win the game if he makes that play, but he didn't. Please, please, please give me Jamai Jones at the big league level. But that's it for last night's game. Now we are going to move on and take a look at a move the Orioles made earlier in the week, claiming left-handed reliever Brandon Waddell from the Minnesota Twins and DFAing Jay Flaw. Nash Walker, the host of the Locked On Twins podcast, is going to join us coming up after the break. So we're going to talk all about Waddell and what he can potentially bring to the Orioles. So we'll get to our Brandon Waddell conversation with Nash Walker of Locked On Twins in just a second. But first, have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood, but for fantasy sports. The platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade? Pretty simple. You know, the value of players rise and fall based on two factors. One, statistical performance, and two, supply and demand. So when you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with a huge upside, or grab the blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and sign up to get started. So go sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, also brought to you by Built Bar. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? It's something to think about. Got the 9 delicious flavors. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There is something for everyone. My favorite flavor, peanut butter brownie. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. That way, you can certainly try everything. But here's the thing. All of these bars are so delicious, but they're also good for you. That's a lot of the reason why people keep buying them. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. So, order today, and you can get raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter chocolate, whatever you like in your Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of those delicious and nutritious protein bars over at BuiltBar.com. All right, so we welcome Nash Walker back into the podcast. He is, of course, the host of Locked On Twins here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Nash, first of all, welcome back into the pod.
Thanks, Connor. I'm glad to be back on. I mentioned to you before we started, it's been a while, but I'm glad we're reconnecting. I think actually last time we talked was like right before the pandemic. So quite a few things have happened in baseball and out of it since then, but I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, obviously it didn't lend for, you know, a straight up crossover episode last year because there was no East teams playing Central teams. And the Orioles and Twins will play later this year, of course, but we have you on for a different reason. The Orioles claimed a pitcher the other day, Brandon Waddell, off of waivers from the Minnesota Twins, 26-year-old left-hander who the Orioles claimed put on their 40-man roster and have sent to AAA Norfolk. He has not made his debut
in Norfolk for the Orioles yet. But of course, he's another guy on the 40 man, which means, you know, if you're the Orioles and the amount of pitchers they've already called up on their 40 man this year, there's a very good chance he's going to pitch in Baltimore at some point this season. So we wanted to get to know a little bit more about him. And, you know, it was only four games for him in a Twins uniform. You know, he was claimed off waivers from the Pirates in the offseason. And then he pitched in four games, four innings, five runs on 10 hits, one strikeout, three walks, and two home runs. So the 11.25 ERA doesn't look good. Tell me what does look good from Waddell and what could get Orioles fans excited and why Mike Elias would make a waiver claim on him.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been thinking about what I was going to say about Waddell. And I think the one thing that I come back to for a positive, and you're not seeing it in the Twins bullpen results these days, but I think the thing that I come back to is that they often, Connor, will pick up, they'll make these waiver wire claims for relievers that they believe that they can, you know, turn into a productive major league reliever. They did it with Matt Whistler last year. He was absolutely fantastic for them. And what they always do, there's always a trend that the Twins, you know, when you look at who they're claiming off waivers, it's usually these bullpen arms, is they got a great slider. They love those sliders. And I know for Waddell, you know, I was actually higher on him than I think others were, just because, you know, a left-handed reliever with a good slider, he's got swing and miss stuff. You know, I felt like he could be middle inning reliever, fifth, sixth inning. You know, I think, you know, tempering expectations for him, but he had a great spring. I mean, he was one of the stars of the spring for the Twins. And I think people were really excited to see what he was going to bring. And we'll talk about it a little bit, but I think he was put into situations on the big league club that were not ideal for him. You know, he was brought into the 10th inning of an extra innings game. And I think he was put into, and that's bad for every reliever with these new rules, but definitely it gave me hope, and it should give Orioles fans hope that the Twins saw something in him, because in recent years they've done this with relievers, and it's not like they go and grab like 15 in an offseason. You know, it's usually two or three that they see something in. And so that for me alone is enough to believe in Brandon Waddell.
Yeah. And you know, it's gotta be something they're seeing. You know, you look at his slider and at least the spin rate on it is over 2,600, which kind of, you know, rivals up there with some of the best in baseball as far as that spin rate. And it's also an interesting pitcher because that is his main pitch. You know, most pitchers are going to throw their fastball more than 50% of the time. This year, you know, he threw about 48% sliders and 43% fastballs. Last year, you know, it was about 41% sliders, which was his most used pitch as well. So, you know, there's obviously something there that he believes in that pitch. And, you know, a former, you know, pretty fairly high draft pick, fifth round pick in 2015 by the Pirates out of Virginia, you know, a pretty good college baseball program at the time, won a national championship there. But, you know, something that I wanted you to come on and talk about as well, and, you know, you mentioned it a little bit, is that, you know, he got his chances on this team in 2021 with the Twins before being waived because, you know, he had a pretty good spring training. So, you know, what kind of went down in spring training that allowed him to get on a team that, you know, does have, you know, a good amount of kind of solid relief arms and for him to still find a spot in that bullpen?
Well, I think you can just see that there's obviously hope for him, at least I think at the major league level, to get lefties out. And if you have a slider that spins that much and it's your primary pitch and you can throw it for strikes, which he did this spring, I think there's no way you can't get lefties out in the bigs. And, you know, I think this is a guy who has fallen victim to the new three batter minimum too. You know, I think if he was able to just see mostly lefties, you would see potentially he would be on a major league club right now, you know, like in a bullpen. But because the sliders is main pitch, we know sliders aren't, I mean, I think the Twins wanted him to throw more sliders against righties. He did this spring and found some success with that, but there's just no way, Connor, to have a pitch like that and not get lefties out. And I think for the Orioles, like the lefties in the division, you want to get Alex Verdugo, you want to get Rafael Devers. I think those are going to be good matchups. And Rocco, Twins manager Rocco Baldelli, went to Waddell in a left-handed spot. I think it was Gallo and a couple other lefties, Nate Lau, were coming up. And I like those matchups. You know, I felt good about those matchups, as you usually do with lefties, but especially so with Waddell because of that slider you mentioned. I think the ceiling for him would be, if there is a righty sandwich in the middle of a couple lefties, to be able to get him out with a slider. But I think that's probably what's held him back in his career. But yeah, definitely this spring, like, that's a good pitch. I mean, he's getting outs with that pitch. And I think the Twins saw something in that. I was of the opinion that they probably cut him loose too soon. And that's more of the restraints of the Twins bullpen not having enough left-handed arms. But I do honestly believe, and we saw it this spring, that he can get lefties out at a high rate, you know. And the thing for him, as it is with a lot of left-handed relievers, is can you get that JD Martinez out in the middle of Verdugo and Devers? And I think that's going to be what the key is for him. But if they spot him up in the right spots, Connor, I think he's going to be able to get outs. Like I truly believe in that, just seeing what he did this spring. And I was a little disappointed that they cut bait so quickly.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned JD Martinez in the middle of Devers and Verdugo. The Orioles obviously have to deal with that a lot. They have a couple lefties who have done that pretty well this year. Tanner Scott and Paul Fry have pitched well at the back end of their bullpen, but they're still trying to find that third lefty. They had Wade LeBlanc early in the season. They DFA'd him. They've gone with a couple of younger lefties and Keegan Aiken and Zach Lowther, trying to throw them in that role, a couple of rookies. So we'll see if Waddell gets that call to kind of be that, you know, more fifth and sixth inning left-hander, because Scott and Fry have been so good that they are, you know, never really pitching before the seventh or the eighth inning. But kind of the last thing, you did mention it, you know, he you know, came in the 10th inning of the game and kind of had a blow up there. And you feel like that kind of led to, you know, him being DFA'd. But, you know, was it because of also there was someone maybe coming back from injury or coming up to take his place? Or was it more of just a, we need to move on from this guy? Because I think that can be telling for a lot of teams on how a move is made. You know, if a great reliever is coming back from the IL and you just have to make a move, that's one thing. But, you know, there's also guys who just get DFA'd because it's been so bad.
Yeah, I think the Twins, they've had their fair share of injuries. I think that's, you know, why he was brought up and sent down in the first place. But this isn't the soundest of analysis, but I would say that everyone in the Twins bullpen this year has been stained in some way. And like, if you're in that bullpen, you're going to struggle. That's what it's felt like for a lot of the year. So I think with Waddell, I don't think people, like Twins fans and myself especially, like that blow up outing, I think people were more upset that he was brought in because they don't have more options. But you mentioned the Orioles have two really good left-handed relievers already. And I think he fit, you were saying that, I was thinking he fits in perfectly as like a third left-handed option that you can go to. You know, if that part of the order is going to come up two times, you know, you can go to Waddell in the middle innings if one of the lefties is down in the bullpen. So I think that as you were describing that, I was thinking that would be a perfect thing for him. But yeah, I mean, the Twins have just needed anyone who can get outs in the bullpen. And I think Miguel Sano came back from injury. Alex Kirilloff ended up going to the IL, but they've had guys on and off the IL all year, and they've had to reinstate guys. And I think Waddell was certainly a factor in that, you know. And they want to still believe in some of the arms in the back end. And I think, you know, in the last couple of years, the Twins have had a good bullpen with this core, so they want to keep this core instead of like going into like a rebuild mode this year. But I do think, again, as you were saying that, I think he fits in really nicely in that role. And he kind of fit that role for the Twins a little bit, but it was so short and he didn't have an opportunity to really do it. And you're facing Joey Gallo in the middle of a lineup. It's not the greatest spot either. But again, I think in most matchups, I think he'll be able to get those outs. And I think this is a nice little pickup for the Orioles. See what they got at AAA now that we got the season going. Spot him up against righties and lefties, see what you got. But I think it's obviously a no-risk move, and a guy who I think can do it. You know, the short time that we saw him in spring training, and I kind of just wipe out what he did this year. But he is still like in that middle ground of what's he going to give you. I do believe that he can be a fifth or sixth inning reliever, and perhaps a little later on if you feel more confident.
Yeah, and he fits into this mold for the Orioles too. You know, a guy who I mentioned was drafted by Pittsburgh in 2015. You know, he didn't make his major league debut until the 2020 season last year, and he only pitched in two games with the Pirates before they ended up waiving him. So, you know, he's another guy. If the Orioles do figure something out with him, you know, they hone in that slider. He continues to throw it more and more. You know, he's a guy who's arbitration eligible 2024, free agent 2027. The Orioles continue to claim guys like that who, you know, were maybe given up on a little too early, and they think they can figure him out. And it's another thing where if they don't figure him out, they can waive him and send him to the next team, and you know they're not losing much. But Nash, thank you so much for joining us here on the pod once again. Hoping that the Twins start to heat up a little bit. I know for the Twins' sake, I'm hoping they play hopefully less and less seven inning games and extra inning games, because I know those have killed them this year. And here's to hoping Minnesota plays a lot more nine inning games this year. Because I think they're a pretty likable team, and I would like to see them in the postseason once again.
Thanks, Connor. I look forward to talking with you before the Orioles series or after. I can't think of when that is, but my dad and I want to get out to Cameron at some point in the next couple of years. But again, the last point, as you were saying that, I was thinking, especially with relievers, what we've seen with teams these days is like filling your bullpen with guys that are pre-arb eligible and not spending too much money in the bullpen so you can use those funds elsewhere, because there's so many guys who it feels like can fill innings. And I think Waddell's another case of that. But thanks, Connor. I want to come on again soon and have you on, and we'll talk Cedric Mullins and Baltimore Orioles.
So we'll finish up with our Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing, and you can track all the action at betonline.ag. You can get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at BetOnline.ag when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So our thanks again to Nash Walker, the host of Locked On Twins here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for joining us to talk about Brandon Waddell, the 26-year-old left-handed pitcher that the Orioles claimed off of waivers from the Minnesota Twins last week. To make room for Waddell on the 40-man roster, they did DFA Jay Flaw, who of course came up and made his debut in relief with the Orioles a couple of weeks ago, pitched in one game through a scoreless inning. Flaw is a guy who had been in the Orioles system for a while as a reliever. I think the O's, you know, actually did expect Jay Flaw to get through waivers and you know, come back into the system, probably put him right back in the Norfolk bullpen. And that's why, you know, instead of calling up a reliever that was already on the 40-man roster a couple of weeks ago, they called up Flaw and added him to the 40-man, because I think they thought once they DFA'd him, inevitably they could keep him. But that was not the case. You know, the Atlanta Braves actually claimed Jay Flaw, so he will be pitching out of the Braves bullpen. You know, we'll see if it's just kind of a placeholder before maybe some injured relievers come back for Atlanta, or if he sticks with the Braves. Obviously wish him all the best with the Braves, but hopeful that he'll be back into the Norfolk bullpen to provide the Orioles with some more depth in that pen. So we'll keep our eye on that. But as far as Waddell goes, he will start the season for the Orioles here in AAA after he made four appearances in the big leagues with the Twins before getting his DFA from Minnesota, as we talked about with Nash. And so we'll keep an eye on him. Still hasn't made that first appearance for the Tides yet, but we'll keep an eye on that and see how he can do. And, you know, he's a big-time slider guy from the left side and, you know, could be a reliever the Orioles will use. And since he's on the 40-man, I'm sure he'll at least get his shot in Baltimore at some point in 2021. Just a couple other things to go over and talk about later in the week on the pod, but first do have to mention another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, when and where will the Oakland Athletics move? That's the cue of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So once again, our thanks to Nash Walker on today's episode. Coming up later in the week, we are going to do a mailbag episode coming up here pretty soon. So if you want to get in your Orioles questions for the mailbag episode, you can email us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com or tweet me at @ConnorNewcomb_ or tweet the podcast account at @LockedOnOrioles. You can also DM either of those accounts. Both DMs are open. Or again, email us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com for an upcoming mailbag episode. We're also going to have a cool guest from the White Sox community coming up later this week, in which we are going to kind of dig in a little bit to what a potential, not that it's happening, but a potential Anthony Santander trade would potentially look like. Of course, if the Orioles were to deal him, they would first wait for him to get back off the injury list, get back healthy, and, you know, give him a few weeks to show that, you know, he's still got it after the injury at the plate. But we know the White Sox are very, very injured. They've lost now Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert potentially for the whole season. That's their center and left fielder. And this is a team that, you know, is probably going to win the AL Central and has aspirations of winning a World Series. So the White Sox definitely are going to add an outfielder at some point this year. Santander seems like a pretty perfect candidate for them to add. So we are going to talk about what it would maybe take for the White Sox to get Santander and what it would take for the Orioles to give him up. That'll come up this week along with a mailbag episode. And of course, we'll keep you updated on all things Orioles, including the minor leagues, as DL Hall made his second start of the year last night in the Bowie Bay Sox AA home opener. He was once again very good. 5 scoreless innings, 9 Ks, no walks, just 2 hits for DL Hall. Hit 100 on the gun last night. He continues to be incredible. But of course, coming up today, it is a big day for one Oriole. Orioles are playing a pretty early game today. If you're listening to this as it comes out, is a 12:10 p.m. Eastern time start. Game 2 of 2 at Citi Field between the O's and the Mets. Taijuan Walker is starting for the Mets with his 2.38 ERA for the right-hander, but he's not the big story. The big story is Matt Harvey, the righty with a 3.60 ERA on the season for the Orioles, is making his first career start against the Mets. He is returning to pitch at Citi Field in an opposing team's uniform for the first time in his career since the Mets, of course, traded him away back in the middle of the 2018 season. And of course, before that, you know, incredible, incredible career where he helped lead the Mets to the World Series and was one of the best pitchers in baseball when he was doing that. So it should be an emotional moment at Citi Field. There'll probably be some boos, but I think it'll be mostly cheers. There should be a cool tribute video played for Matt Harvey, and it should be a cool moment and something to look out for. But we will be back tomorrow to discuss that moment, discuss if the Orioles did split the series with the Mets, look a little bit forward to the series coming up against the Yankees, and then, of course, as we mentioned, talked Anthony Santander trade potential as well. But that's all coming up tomorrow. Until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.